This is an official meeting of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Can you turn me up a little bit? I'd like to call this meeting to order. And first thing we need to do is establish a quorum. Madam Treasurer, Secretary Treasurer, is there a quorum?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there is.
Okay, we need the microphones on the front turned up. I would like to welcome each of you to the first half of the two-part Beef Board business meeting we'll have here this week. I would extend a special welcome to those of you who are here at the first summer conference as Beef Board members. Please don't hesitate to ask questions when you have them or if you're unclear on anything at all. After our presentation on the committee structure a while ago, I had two wonderful questions back there. I don't know whether I answered them sufficiently or not, but I wish you had asked them again because they were very good questions, and everybody else needs to know the answer when we have the people in the know up here. My name is Wesley Graff. For those of you I haven't gotten to know yet, a welcome. I am chairman of the Beef Board and am a beef producer from Grady, New Mexico. I am one of those members that's still in a drought. We had 3 inches of rain last year, and we've had 3 inches this year. And we normally have 17, so we're kind of getting used to it. I got tickled at a little man come up to me the other day and said, "Mr. Grau, how many droughts have you lived through?" I said, "Young man, I've lived through them all." So that's one thing that we're going to have now. They're going to have droughts after I'm gone. They had droughts before I got here, so that's a starting point for conversations. And then don't be afraid to ask questions and get conversations started. One of the main tasks that you have at the summer conference is your participation in the Joint Checkoff Program Committees, where tomorrow you will be reviewing proposals, which we will call the authorization request. They will be for checkoff funding, fiscal 2013, or fiscal 2013, which begins October the 1st. There are another number of other accomplishments as the Beef Board here this week. As a part of our job is to administer the National Checkoff Program. At this time, I would accept a motion to approve the agenda. Steve, and your name, please. David. Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Agenda is approved. The purpose of this meeting, Business Session 1, Cattlemen's Beef Board, Business Session 1, which we used to call an update session, is to give CBB members a chance to meet separately to perform various administrative duties and provide a setting where each of you can easily raise questions or concerns about any or all things about the checkoff. So let's get started. Okay. We also need a motion to accept the minutes of the last business meeting. Tammy? Eric? Second? Yes, ma'am? Would you go to the mic, Phyllis?
On the February 2nd minutes, under the new CB appointees, it says new and appointed CB members, and the reappointed members were not listed. And I think it's important for them to be listed so that when you go down through the records, you can have a record of all those names for each year.
Okay. Is there any objection? Then that suggestion will be made with the minutes of the previous. We have a motion before the floor. Any other questions? If not, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the minutes of the previous meeting as changed by Phyllis there, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now I would like to ask your Cattlemen's Beef Board Vice Chairman, Weldon Wynn, who serves as the chairman of your executive committee, to come up and give us an update on activities of that committee since we met last as a full board.
Thank you, Wesley. And good afternoon to all of you. For those of you that I have not met yet personally, I certainly want to and I intend to, but I am Weldon Wynn, and I'm from the state of Arkansas. And we also would like to have a little rain in our country, too. I am the 2012 chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. And part of the job of the vice chairman of the Beef Board is to serve as chairman of the CBB Executive Committee, which is charged with acting on your behalf between meetings of the full Beef Board. I'm going to give you a little bit about some background on this where it will catch you up. The CBB Executive Committee is made up of 11 members. They were elected at the last annual meeting in Nashville. It generally also includes the past CBB chairman, serving in an ex officio capacity, but as you all know by now, Dan Dursky has resigned due to poor health earlier in this year. The Executive Committee also includes your three officers, Wesley, Kim, and myself, and eight others. I would like to start my report by recognizing all of the Executive Committee members for their efforts. Please stand if you currently serve on the committee so everyone can join in thanking you for the work that you do and donating your time and energy. Could we get you to stand, please? The Executive Committee members. Thank you. Getting to my report, I would like to remind you that the charge of the CBB Executive Committee is to carry out Beef Board policies, conduct business, and to make necessary decisions necessary to administer the Beef Act and order between these meetings of the full board. Since our last full board meeting in January, we have had four Executive Committee meetings, one in March, one in May, one in June, and one here in Denver earlier today. At our meetings in March, May, and earlier today, we received financial reports from the Beef Board Treasurer, Kim Brackett, and had the opportunity to discuss that and these matters at great length. Another job of the Executive Committee is monitoring state expenditures by reviewing all annual marketing plans and financial statements of the state beef councils, performing systematic financial and procedural reviews, and providing investment and banking guidance through the QSBC investment policies to ensure safety of our checkoff funds. And let me stop right there just a minute and say that we have diligently this year worked closely with our bank in Kansas, and you will get a report on some other things that's going to happen shortly with some of our funds. We receive reports on the status of state reviews and audits at regular meetings of the Executive Committee, and we also get updates on actions of the Operating Committee. During our March meeting, Beef Board CEO Polly Rulin presented proposed CBB policies to be included in our board policies and procedures document, including information about things like reimbursement of expenses, sexual harassment, and conflict of interest policies, fiduciary responsibilities of the board members, and that kind of things that we talked about. That updated document was made available for you to review in your board packets emailed to you about a month ago. In our meetings both in March and again in May, we also ratified beef product brands and trade name references in checkoff partnership promotions, both at the state and the national levels. Since our last board meeting, the executive committee has approved partnerships with about 15 different companies. In May, the executive committee also ratified the operating committee's recommendation for the 2013 beef board budget and recommended an administration budget for the next year, both of which you'll be voting on during our business session 2 on Saturday morning. So I won't go into that now, but I want you to know that that's going to be before you Saturday morning. Our executive committee also had conference calls in June. We heard a report from Hank Maxey on the special committee's recommendation for changes to the joint committee structure and voted unanimously to recommend that proposal to you and forward it to the full board for your discussion here this week, which you'll be doing as soon as I finish with this report today. At our meeting here in Denver this morning, the executive committee reviewed 4 additional partnerships, discussed the 2013 administration and revenue budgets, and heard results from the last producer attitude survey, which will be released tomorrow at the meeting of the Joint Producers Communication Committee. These are just a few of the examples of what the executive committee has done during the last few months. If you want more details, copies of the minutes from the meetings, which we've had since the last full board meeting, are available at my Beef Checkoff meeting blog, where you were made available to you in the board packet email also. In fact, our bylaws call for those minutes to be ratified by the full beef board. So, Chairman Graw, I move that the executive committee minutes be ratified beginning with March 15, 2012 meeting minutes.
You have heard the motion. Is there a second? I see a second back here from Colorado. Wayne, back. Is there any other comments or questions about the minutes of the executive committee? On the March 15th minutes only. If not, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of approving those signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Mr.
Motion
Chairman.
Carries. Yes.
I would also make a motion that the executive committee minutes from May 31, 2012, from the conference call, be approved as presented.
Is there a second? We've got several seconds. Which one do you want to write down, Polly? Leo. Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I would also need a motion, if I could, the executive committee minutes from June 27, 2012, needs to be approved, please, as presented.
Is there a second? Dan? Made the second. Is there any further questions, comments? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report of the executive committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Weldon. Next on the item of business on our agenda today is any further discussion of special committee recommendations that we have just reviewed in our joint session with the Federation of Qualified State Beef Councils right before this meeting. Let me start by saying, as was made very clear in the session with the Federation, the members of the Beef Board who volunteered to serve on our special committee on committee structure took a big commitment with this task and did a tremendous amount of work between regular meetings to get this recommendation to you. So we would like to start off this discussion by asking the members of the special committee to stand so that we can give them a special round of applause and a thank you for all the time and effort they put in. Will, Hank, all you guys that were on the committee, stand up. Ted? Hank, I'll turn this over to you.
Thank you, Wesley. I'd again like to thank all the members of the committee that worked so well together and dug deep for ideas that we believe make a strong recommendation for efficient and effective checkoff committee structure. And I'd also like to tell you that the process over the last 2 or 3 years, what the checkoff has gone through, the process of sitting down with the Federation folks and openly discussing what issues we had as far as committees, how to improve those committees, couldn't have been a more enjoyable task. The task of exactly sitting down and putting what box to what box, that's not any fun. Any of y'all that have ever worked on a structure know that it's no fun at all. But when you have open communication, when everybody's working for the same common goal and direction, makes it enjoyable. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through that whole thing again, but I would like to do this. I'd like to offer anybody that has a further question, and more importantly than a question, if you got an idea, a suggestion, an opportunity, or feedback. I know a lot of times committees, everybody asks for questions, but I think people have ideas and they have feedback of what they like and don't like more so than a question, and we'll take all those all those that you have. I'll answer the ones I can. I'll be honest with you, I'm probably on the low end of the committee. Will and Ted and Dan carried a lot of the weight. Polly here was with us the whole time. So if anybody else has any questions, if you'll come to the mic and state your name for some of the people who may not know you and for the minutes, we'll take any questions, comments, suggestions at this time.
Y'all don't be afraid to ask questions. Everybody learns by questions. So if you have some, Joe?
Joe Guthrie, Virginia. Hank, I appreciate the work y'all have done. I support this idea. I think it's a good way to do it. I like the potential for increase in efficiency, and I like that we're matching what we're doing with the long-term plan. I think those are all good ideas. My only suggestion, because you invited suggestions and comments much more than questions, would revolve specifically around one of the strategies, which is the Freedom to Operate Committee. And I'm struggling a little bit to figure out where we're going to put ARs into that that could be as appropriately done in Beef Image or something else. I'm also seeing where, while I think that's a great long-term plan, it may be a little bit difficult to find an AR that's not production-linked or advocacy-linked that has something to do with freedom to operate. So my only suggestion would be, as Craig pointed out a few minutes ago, every cycle that we do another long-term plan, we're setting ourselves up to where we can modify this to be adjustable to fit our new long-term plan. And while this time we chose that we would incorporate all of those long-term plans as a heading for each committee, we might want to in the future look at, you know, do we combine or do we eliminate or do we leave off or do we modify in some way our committee structure rather than just taking the long-term plan as it's written and just look at that in the future as we move forward on that. But I think you've done a good job in creating the basic overall structure.
Okay. And I'll answer that, and then I'll probably kick it a little bit to Polly while she's working on 500 other things. Part of that, Joe, in the industry long range, there were six core strategies. Mm-hmm. Two of them didn't involve the checkoff at all. They were more policy issues. The freedom to operate really has two components. It kind of has both components. What we viewed as we went down through some of the past ARs and how that worked, it's about two or three items under the current AR system that would fit that or parts of that. And one of them is the sustainability study. Another one would be the BQA process as it relates to a process that involves safety. And then somewhat of issues management as to how you put that BQA story out to the public. Yes, and that was one of the ones that was, you know, that was debated. Paul, you have anything to add to that?
We always went back to the long-range plan when we were looking at these committees and which applied to the checkoff and which didn't. And if you look at the long-range plan under Protect and Enhance Our Freedom to Operate, it specifically says define and communicate sustainable beef production, which is part of the issues management AR right now. It talks about educating people on structure, operation, and value of the beef industry. We do that in issues management. And it talks about proactively addressing and countering activist organizations that seek to limit our use of technology and interfere. So that activist response is also part of the issues management stuff. So there's actually quite a few things that would fit into this committee that we currently do.
And I'm not criticizing yet. I'm also seeing how, and maybe you disagree with me, but I can see how each of those could fit under beef image, and we might streamline a little bit more from where we were and cut down from 4 to 3. But that might put a whole lot more in beef image than we wanted to.
Yeah, it could be, but I think the committee tried to stay as true to the long-range plan as they could. So they tried to address those issues as the long-range plan committee addressed them and wrote them on the plan.
Sure.
So that's would be the reason they did it that way.
And just my only point is, as we look forward to doing this more with long-term plans, do a little bit like you're talking about, where we keep things within what we're doing with CBB and with our goals are.
Thank you, Joe.
Any other comments or questions? Here we go. Kent?
This question came up in the last session. And I guess this is a question I have also. How are we going to address the policy component of a checkoff issue when we need both sides? I mean, that's been a contentious issue for a long time, but it's not going to go away. How is that going to be addressed as we go forward?
In the joint committee agreement that we passed at Winter Convention that talks about the committee structure and how they function and how numbers on committees and who's on committees. And it's what this group passed and what the Federation passed in the winter. The way it states how policy is handled on those committees, the voting part of all the committees is made up strictly of representatives from the CBB and representatives of the Federation of State Beef Councils. Now, as with all checkoff committees, the committee is open to everybody. They're open to everyone. Everybody can come. All policy organizations can be there in the room to add the input that those committees need to move forward. And that is how we envisioned it. The leadership training that'll go into, which is more than we have now, that'll go into training the leadership on these committees will be asked, will be told to recognize the people in the room. And just like with any process, any of us that would be sitting at the table making a decision based on international markets, so to speak, where that component probably comes in more so than anything else, we are trying to make the absolute best decision that we can make. And we will use all the resources that are in the room and provided. And I think that's where those resources are going to speak up and give us direction, and we're going to ask for them. And as a committee member, you can ask those policy groups to be there at the meeting to give their input. But they will not have a vote on those issues.
And could I let Polly add somewhat to that?
Sure.
Good answer.
I think the other thing to remember is that when that flow chart was up there with the big yellow circle that said industry scan, I think it's hello. he walked over there and I lost him. I think it's important to remember that the industry scan is kind of a similar session we used to do it a while ago where all the industry kind of issues were outlined for all committee members in one area. And the point of that industry scan will be to give the checkoff folks some perspective into all aspects of the issues that they're going to be talking about and discussing. So there are kind of two ways that they could get that perspective, one through the scan and one through different policy groups in the checkoff committees.
Okay, and I appreciate that. But here is my concern as a producer. We have seen in the past two sides absolutely polarized. Yet for the good of the industry, we all want more beef demand. So as we're doing the ARs, we're deciding where we're going to spend our checkoff dollars, and you have these two sides completely opposite. How do we go forward? Is there a process that says, okay, we're going to listen to all sides, we're going to make a decision as a CBB board, and this is our path forward?
Two policy groups having opposite sides on the issue.
Right. RCAF has a position, NCBA has a position.
They're
both good policy organizations.
Both of those groups will present their perspective.
Okay.
And then you as a CBB member on the committee along with the Federation members have the vote to decide which direction the checkoff dollars will be spent in.
Wait a minute. Can I address that?
Yep.
Okay. We won't be spending dollars on policy issues.
I'm talking about issues where we need policies help. Right.
There will be plenty of communication and resources available for those policy groups. Okay. We have market research. We have a number of other things that they can use. We can't dictate to the policy organizations what policies they move forward with. Okay. Hopefully they will coordinate with each other. And I'm going to tell you, on a lot of them, they do coordinate with each other, okay? There are some that they don't. I understand that. So hopefully on those issues, they will address their differences and present, their positions to those people who need to have it presented. But there will be information exchange at those committee meetings. That's what's intended.
And I think one other thing I'd like to add to that is I really haven't heard RCAF and NCBA disagreeing on nutrition and health,
right,
or safety, or any of the issues, frankly, that the checkoff addresses. They disagree on issues that the checkoff doesn't work on, largely. So when you get in those subcommittee meetings, I don't think you're going to have different policy groups. There are very few policy groups that work on checkoff issues, frankly, the issues that would be important to inform checkoff decisions. So I don't think you're going to have a policy fight in a checkoff meeting on the issues that the checkoff will be working on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kent. Leo?
I think Paulie pretty well summed it up there, but I was a little uncomfortable the direction that was going, because I'm pretty sure that when we're in a meeting, we're not supposed to be using any checkoff resources towards anything that could be interpreted towards legislation. And I think Paulie's absolutely right. I think when it comes to research, education, and marketing, whether it's Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, whoever, I haven't ever seen a disagreement there. I think we're all on the same page, and it's one of the things I enjoy about this board. So hopefully we can leave the policy out and concentrate on what our job is.
David?
Come to the next one, David.
Yeah. Walk a little further.
I want to thank the committee for the work they've done on this. I expressed to Hank and to Joe and to Ted, and I'd like to kind of express this towards Paulie also. You know, on evaluation committees, we have this whole business of trying to evaluate all this mess. And we've had a discussion in the past that there are some programs that haven't been evaluated for years upon years upon years, but they keep getting funded. My question is, I think it will be better, but my question is basically directed towards you, Paulie. Do you think this is going to be able to help us get a better handle on those evaluations to narrow is probably the wrong word to use, but to get more of an access rather than having those programs run on and on and on and on and on without ever getting a thorough evaluation?
Good question, David. Polly?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I might disagree with you that some programs aren't evaluated for years and years. Every program is evaluated every year according to the metrics that they put in their ARs and that the operating committee approves. So you know that. You're on the committee.
Right.
So your question about whether or not this is going to help us focus,
right.
I believe 110% that this committee structure will help us focus on consumer demand and consumer preferences much better than we've ever been able to do that in the past. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. Because what we have here is a committee saying to a program manager, how are you fulfilling what we know consumers want? And that's a much better process than we've had when the committees have been program-based, because I think we've asked that question about how the programs fulfill consumer demands a lot, frankly. Program managers have asked that question. To your question about being able to address perhaps resourcing problems or issues, crisis problems that we may have by focusing programs better, the evaluation committee has come up with, and we'll talk about them, has come up with a couple of ideas as far as ROI studies or differential investment studies that will help these committees make these decisions. But I really do believe that the structure is a definite step forward to allow us to focus on consumers.
Okay, so then my next question becomes, currently we have, what we had talked, currently we have like roughly 40 ARs. That's ARs that are approved, is that correct?
That's about right.
Do you foresee this as providing for more ARs or fewer ARs? I mean, obviously those who have sat down and have looked at this, and I keep going back to, you know, when we talk about evaluating, in these times when the funds are short, we've got to consolidate and strengthen that evaluation process.
Mm-hmm. I guess I would answer your question by saying, to me, that when it comes to ARs, it's quality over quantity. I don't really care if it's more ARs or fewer ARs or, you know, what ARs they are, and I don't care who does them, frankly. I just want the best work. So I don't think the goal of the task force, and correct me if I'm wrong, was to get more ARs or fewer ARs. We've had some action lately with CBB and USDA that would encourage more contractors. But as far as how many ARs we get, to me that's not as important as the quality of the work and whether or not the work focuses like a laser on what's important to selling beef to consumers.
Polly, you or Ted may want to bring the new board members up on the new evaluation process. It is so neat. If you could share with us a few minutes about that.
Well, we have a lot of things going on at evaluation. I was privileged to be on this committee restructure. I'm the chair of the evaluation committee, and I was on a long-range plan. So I've been watching how all these things have been molding together and creating a better structure for the CBB and the Federation. And at evaluation, we are working diligently on creating a more effective, less intimidating evaluation structure with both external evaluations and internal evaluations. It's exciting stuff that we have going on, and if you talk to our committee members, you'll find that out, and I would welcome everyone, if you're able to join us at evaluation, to come do that tomorrow. But the way we're doing evaluation and the cohesiveness of it are just getting better and better. And Polly, you can share a little bit of how we were doing some evaluation, even from last year to this year. And actually, I'm calling on Polly for that, but Courtney is our evaluation director as well. I don't want to not include you in this, Courtney, so thank you. But Polly, follow up on that with us.
I think as I mentioned to David's question, each program is evaluated every year, and they're evaluated by using measurable objectives that those programs identify as they're writing their ARs and that are approved by the operating committee. We've been working really, so in my mind, the hard part of evaluation comes when we're trying to set the measurable objectives for the program, not when we're measuring whether or not they achieved those objectives, right? Because the objectives tell whether or not they succeeded. So we've made a lot of strides. Program managers have been very open to us wanting outcome-based objectives, meaning how did the work that you did actually affect the audience that you were trying to reach instead of how many pieces of paper or how many people at your meeting or how many things did you produce? Those are output-based objectives. What did you do? How did it work? That's an outcome-based objective. So we've been working for 2 years now to kind of push program managers further toward outcome-based objectives and proving that what they're doing is actually working rather than just proving that they're doing something. So I'm pretty proud of that, and I think the committee has been very, very progressive in their thought as far as making evaluation better.
And Polly, they can go online and read about the evaluations and the new deal at mybeefcheckoff.com or...
And every board member got the book too. So if it's on your shelf and it's dusty, dust it off and read it. It's good stuff.
And if you don't want to read the whole book, just look at the first page. It numbers. It gives you each AR a classification between 1 and 10 on how well it performed. So that's a real simple message, and then you can read in the book about that particular AR for the details. Do we have any other questions about the committee structure? Well, from Iowa.
Mr. Chair, Will Frazee from Iowa. I hope everyone's got their questions answered. We've had some good questions, good discussion, but maybe to move this along, I would like to make a motion that we approve the Joint Advisory Committee structure.
Thank you, Will. Ted, is that a second? It's been a motion and made to approve the joint structure, new recommended joint structure to the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Are there any other questions, comments? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much, Hank. Now we're going down to, yeah. Now we're going down to item on the agenda number 4, questions and answers from the board. Anything that you might have on your mind, feel free to ask questions. Weldon hadn't had a question lately, and if you would like to pick his brain a little bit, and if he can't answer it, we'll get Joe to answer it. Steve?
I think, Mike, I'd make a comment in moving forward here. I think the reality is our livestock herd in the United States is going to be significantly lower for a number of years. Therefore, the money is going to be significantly lower. So I encourage those that are looking at that to think very strategically, because that pool is going to be smaller and smaller. And we have to really be careful. And probably we're going to have to eliminate some things that might be a little sexy. But good luck in the discussions.
Thank you, Steve. I agree, and as board members, we can't talk about increasing the checkoff. But every one of your spouses can. Any other questions, comments? Yes, ma'am.
Sarah Childs, Florida. I just wanted to commend the board for the excellent orientation meeting that we had in March. I've been involved in the industry for a long time, and it was a real eye-opener the many topics covered, and it just was something that made you feel a super part of this board very quickly. And I myself, and I'm sure the rest of the new people that were oriented, appreciate your efforts tremendously.
Thank you, Sarah. Anyone else? Here he comes.
Richard Winter from Texas. With the gentleman's statement about cattle numbers, where does this board stand on a referendum change to go to $2? And that's my question.
Well, Lynn, would you like to address that through the survey made by Producers Communications?
Sure. I might start by saying that the board does not have a stance on increasing the checkoff.
Right.
The board does not take a position on a checkoff increase.
But we do have an idea about the producers' attitudes.
Paul, you took the words right out of my mouth. That was the first thing I was going to tell you, because we can't take a stand on it. But we can ask about producer attitudes toward an increase. One of the things that you might recall is that in January, the operating committee had authorized an additional expenditure for an expanded survey. We actually, instead of 1,200, we actually went to 1,600 people randomly selected across the country. I've got a lot of questions about how we do that. We start with a database of about 650,000. We randomly select from that database to try to get a balanced look at the cattle industry. So we've got all segments of the industry represented and so forth. And then we complete, as we did in January, 1,200 for the survey we just completed, 900 surveys with people on a, some of you were part of that group. Most of you probably were not. Bottom line is this. In January, we asked really the idea was, do you understand that there hasn't been an increase for 25 years and that costs have gone up? And the answer to that question is that producers very, very dearly understand that because they face it every day in their own operations. The second part of it was, would you support an increase to $2 if that were to come? There is resistance to that. But about 44% of the producers in January in that extended survey said we would be willing to support that. In the survey we just completed, and consider the fact there's more pessimism because of drought and some of the other economic factors, that fell to 38%, and that is a significant shift of producers who said we would support an increase to two. Now, we just got back. I mean, it's literally been that long ago that we were still crunching data. We just got back about an hour ago. Some new numbers, and forgive me here because I read them a couple of times, and I'm hoping I'm going to give you the right numbers. Bottom line is this: if you don't want to support an increase, and that's that 60% or so, if you don't want to support an increase, why is it? There are factors like it's too much, which are more difficult to explain. There are factors like, show me what you're doing with the money you've got now. Tell me what you're going to do with more money. I don't have enough information. Essentially, that's what that aspect boils down to. In really gross numbers, there's two sides of the same coin that most people are quoting. One, it's too much, and the other one is I need to know more about the program before I'm willing to commit. Okay, so those are the two most important issues that have come up. So can we say that producers today support an increase to $2? We can't. In January, we could say producers would support an increase to $1.50. And just as a person that's worked with market information for a long time and communicating with producers and so forth, many of the points of resistance are because we haven't made a concentrated effort to let people understand more about the checkoff and the specifics of the work that is being done. A lot of that we do in producer communications, and it all of this information helps us focus our messages. A lot of it, more specific to some of the questions that are being raised, would have to be done by a group not related to this board that is supporting a yes vote. Is that enough information or too much?
Thank you. John?
Yeah, John Schaefer from Minnesota. I might add to that answer a little bit, and I guess I'm going to disagree with Polly just a little bit here. 4 years ago, the USDA requested that the Beef Board draft some recommendations to change the checkoff or improve the checkoff. I'm not sure exactly what the wording was. We did come up with a number of changes, one of which was to open up the contractor requirements that's moving forward at USDA now, some others, but we also did at that time approve an increase to $2 with option to increase without a act of Congress, I guess, even more than that possibly. But I'm not sure exactly what status that has, if that's still policy of the board, but to my knowledge, it hasn't been repealed. So,
Wayne?
Well, no, wait a minute. We didn't change the law. We made a recommendation to USDA, okay? We are authorized under our order to make recommendations to USDA. We are not authorized to go up and make recommendations to Congress. We would require a legislative change to authorize an increase in the checkoff. Okay, so we are not able to do that.
Right.
Okay.
But my understanding is it's still the policy of this board that we recommend that it be increased.
It was a recommendation.
Yeah. Is that recommendation is still in place, is it not?
Probably. I mean, it's a document you've seen 3 years ago.
Okay.
Woody?
Woody Barth from North Dakota. I have a question on the survey. I think the comment was made that when the survey was taken, there was more pessimism in the country because there was a drought. Was there a question concerning whether if we would have had adequate moisture that support for the checkoff would have went up? I mean, the comment was made that there was pessimism in the country, and that brought down the survey results. I don't think that had a lot to do with it, so I would question the statement of whether the drought had an effect on the survey.
Okay. Lynn?
Unless there was a question in the survey that affected drought or adequate rainfall or weather conditions in the country.
Lynn, could you give us a statistical analysis of that comment?
I didn't mean to imply that the drought caused the drop, but what we do know is that typically when the producers are more pessimistic in general, in other words, prices are low, there's drought, there's other conditions that are putting pressure on the industry, the idea of an increase is typically reflected in the fact that pessimism exists. Now, what we did ask is two questions that we always ask about economics. One has to do with whether you think your specific economics are going to be better. In other words, your sales are going to be higher, your values are going to be higher, and the other one has to do with what you think is the greatest pressure on the industry. And both of those indicators pointed to a more pessimistic group of folks that we were talking to than what we saw in January. Okay, so no. Drought didn't cause less support for an increase in the checkoff, but overall pessimism typically would indicate that it would go in that direction.
Okay. Chuck.
Chuck Kiker from Texas. And I just wanted to make some clarity about the recommendations that we made in 2009. If I'm not mistaken, there was a committee set up, and they went and took comments from producer groups, all producer groups. It wasn't the policy of the Cattlemen's Beef Board to do any of those things. They went out and got comments from producer groups. Am I right, Polly?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And those were compiled into a paper that was presented, I think, in Phoenix, Arizona. and then that was sent to the Secretary of Agriculture.
Was that paper approved by the board?
Yes.
It was approved to send.
Right. But the input, your point.
But the input was producer input. It wasn't the Cattlemen's Beef Board. It was industry groups. They took comments from everybody. There were meetings held.
But it was approved by the Beef Board. Yes.
Yes.
It was. So they had a chance to not approve it and say, no, don't send it.
But did that make it our policy?
Well, basically, they would have said, no, don't send this if the board didn't approve the recommendations that were in it.
Let me ask you another question while I'm here. Couldn't the Secretary of Agriculture push that to Congress?
Sure. Secretary of Agriculture could recommend to Congress a change. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, then maybe that's an avenue we need to take a look at then, because that paper's still there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any others? Christy?
Christy Loggy from Nebraska. I guess mine goes back to Weldon's executive committee report. We ratified the minutes from the March 15th meeting, but in the packet there's minutes from the February 20th conference call, and I think we neglected to approve
those. We did
those.
Miss that, and we're going to pick that up in other business if that's
okay.
All right with you, and we'll
that's all right. I just
have a motion to ratify those.
Al Davis, Nebraska. I have a question which refers back to the minutes of February 20th, in which Catherine was discussing convention fees. So the question I have is, do you guys have an estimate of what it costs per CBB member to go to the convention?
Catherine, do you have any figures on that? Is she here? Can't go to Mike.
Like, what's the total budget, you know, for the convention, I guess, the question.
So the winter convention is more expensive than summer, and we generally spend somewhere around, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but it is around 200-ish thousand. The average member stays about 3.5 nights. So if you do the math, the room's running $200 a night, 3.5 nights, airfare, et cetera. So it varies depending on where they live and what their airfare cost, but it can cost anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500 per member, depending on their situation. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, and what is our contribution to the NCBA part of the programming and things? How much do we pay per CBB member to NCBA to facilitate the convention?
Okay, so you're asking about the registration cost.
Yes.
Not the travel.
I was talking about travel. Well, that was another part of my question, so it all goes together, and I appreciate that, Catherine.
Okay, so the registration cost. Historically, the way those were calculated is we did a review of a calculation that NCBA put together that was designed to calculate the actual cost per member for registration. And we agreed in advance on which cost we would share. So, for example, in committee meetings, if there were refreshments provided, those were shared cost because we shared those with the Federation. So we would look through the cost and do an analysis of which cost were shared, and then we would divide that by the number of our members that attended. What we found is that those costs were increasing, no surprise, and they were difficult for us to budget. The calculation was very time-consuming for us and for them. It would take several months for them to complete the calculation, quite a while for us to review it. It was very complicated. So Polly was able to work with NCBA, and then I worked with a finance group to come up with a flat rate registration fee. So it is much lower than what we were historically seeing. So for this meeting, for example, we are paying $70 for each of you to attend this meeting. For the winter meeting, we're paying $140. And that is based on some average data that we looked at, and it is lower than we were anticipating based on the increases we were seeing. But when we factored in all the time savings from both staff and all the complicated things we were going through, we were comfortable that that was less than what it's actually costing, and they were comfortable that they could live with that agreement.
And I think the only thing I would add to that is it's not a registration fee to NCBA. It's paying for our cost. It's paying for meeting rooms and AV and refreshments and security and those kinds of things. So we don't pay a registration fee to NCBA.
So, and then the speakers that they choose to bring in, that's their cost totally, the policy? Because it looks sometimes, you know, I go to these sessions and I get a little bit uncomfortable with some of the discussion that comes from the last speaker, for example, you know, kind of was lobbying against the administration, and I'm not really sure that's where we need to be.
And those, we don't pick those speakers.
Right, those are, I mean, those sessions that aren't CBB business sessions are the choice of, it's your choice to attend those sessions or not to attend those sessions. You're certainly not required as a CBB member, and they're not CBB business sessions.
Then that's good to know. We do fit this under the cap of 5%, as I understand that, our administration costs. You know, so I enjoy coming to these. I would love to see it consolidated down so we could do it in a couple of days and be out, you know. I think that would be so much better for all of us. Thanks.
So noted.
Thank you, Al. Wayne.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Wayne Buck from Colorado, and I'm a retired businessman, and I, in lean times in business, when your income recedes or diminishes, then you have to compensate for that by cutting the cost of your operation. And, of course, generally that comes through labor, which is always the number one cost for almost any business. And my concern is that in our era of declining revenues, that our operating costs for the money that we are giving through the ARs, are we spending less money? Are our ARs costing us less money, our projects, whether it's safety or research or retail, are those projects costing us less money now to implement? And is the money still going towards the project that we are giving our checkoff dollars for, or is the cost of the project continuing to increase and diminishing the amount of money that we think we are spending for a successful AR? So I'm just saying, if a project is $2 million this year and the AR costs are $1 million, next year it's a $2 million AR and our project costs are $1.2 million instead of being less. So I'm very concerned that the money that we're giving to an AR for a project, that the money for that project isn't being increased by salary increases or more personnel or more benefits or more bonuses. I just need to say that I think that we need to be able to see figures that we know that our money is going toward the project and not towards administrative costs.
Thank you, Wayne. May I take a touch at that? That, what Wayne has mentioned, is what every member on this board in the joint committees needs to be thinking about. And y'all decide and bring your recommendations before to the operating committee, and we decide as a board and operating committee on which deals are funded. As far as our administration for staff, I am so proud of our staff, and I would like to recognize them at this time. Would all of our CBB staff members stand, please? Let's give them a round of applause. You can't imagine the load and the burden that they carry getting their jobs done, and Polly came to us as our CEO as a staff person of evaluations. And this local staff, the present staff, has agreed to fill up or take up the slack and share responsibilities with Courtney, I think, taking the reins on that deal. And we have basically not hired another person for evaluations at the staff committee. We have done some wonderful things as far as efficiency and the Cattlemen's Beef Board staff, and y'all will be well pleased. And if you get a chance to go into offices in Denver sometime, please do so. Polly, would you like to add to any of that? Okay. Thank you.
Terry Wyatt from Oklahoma. If I understand correctly, our administrative cost is 5%.
Yes.
The lowest in the United States is the food bank that is so used and so populated, and they get their recognition because they are 3%. I think for us to be at 5% is a wonderful accomplishment. I've just been reappointed to the Beef Board, and I really can't tell you how impressed with everything that has been accomplished and the direction we're going and the ARs that we're approving. If anything, we need to promote to our producers what we're going to give up if we don't increase our checkoff money. I understand that some of the states have gone in and approved a 50 cent, but that's their choice on giving anything to the national. I know in Oklahoma we give more to national. But let me know when my husband can get up in the regular business meetings and ask for a $2 advance.
I will. Thank you very much. I might comment at this time. Canada went from a mandatory checkoff for the beef industry to a voluntary checkoff. And their checkoff dropped down to 33% of what it was while they had a national program. Yes, sir, Vaughn?
Vaughn Meyer from South Dakota, and to comment on what was said here about the committee screening the ARs and stuff, and that's how we work on them. We've felt for several times, I don't think it's just me in here, that these committees that are screening these ARs are not getting enough information on these ARs. They're generalized, and I realize that some of the NCBA personnel that work on them and stuff have worked out a lot of the fine details, but if we're going to sit here and make a decisions on an AR, and some of these are $1.5 million, there really should be a lot more pages of information put down in there. In South Dakota, in our beef council, we deal with ARs all the way from, say, $30,000 or even $5,000 on up to probably the largest ones in there, maybe $250,000. And a lot of times those are 30 and 35-page ARs, and it gives you the total information down to the specifics of where the monies are being spent. And I guess I feel on these committees, if we're to make decisions on that, we need to be more specific on these ARs and have more information than just a general what they're about and what they're going to do and what the timeline is and that.
Thank you, Vaughn. In order to keep these meetings from being 10 days long instead of 3.5 days, we've got to do our homework when those books come to you a month or two in advance. And if you have any questions, you need to talk to those program managers of the contractors. And don't just talk to the ones of NCBA. Talk to ANCW. Talk to USMEF. Talk to NLPA. Talk to all six contractors that we had last year.
Mr. Chairman.
You know, talk to all of them. Make sure that our money is being spent most efficient and effective way possible.
If I could just have a couple of things to say about that. I think it's important to remember that the Beef Board doesn't approve ARs. The operating committee approves ARs. And the committees don't approve ARs. The committees are advisory committees that make recommendations on program work, not on budget, on program work to the operating committee. Budgets are handled by the budget committee and then by the operating committee. Okay? So the work that you're seeing in program committees is so that the program committees can review the programs of work and either recommend those programs of work to the operating committee for funding or not recommend. It's the job of the operating committee to review budgets, to understand what the costs of each AR are, and to approve or deny those ARs.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions? I think the comments and questions have been very beneficial for the knowledge of the board today. I know every time somebody asks a question and Polly or Hank answers it or Weldon, that I learn from it. So, any other questions? Okay, if not, we're going down to item number 5, another item that we have had some recent change on, and this is new. This is a selection of Beef Board members to serve on the 2013 CBB Nominating Committee. And this is for when we meet in Florida, in Tampa, next February, the 6th through the 7th, 5th through the 7th, or whatever, first weekend in February. Based on the policies and procedures we approved as a full board in the 2012 convention in Nashville earlier this year, we sent out invitations to all Beef Board members to seek volunteers interested in serving on the nominating committee. We received completed forms from a total of 17 board members willing to serve on the 2013 committee and shared the list with all of you in your member toolkit several weeks ago. Today, we need to split into groups according to the six regions we approved in February and vote on which nominees to sit on the nominating committee from each region. This is where I step aside and turn over the mic to our legal counsel, Wayne Watkinson, as each of us officers will be joining our regions and voting on those nomination the committee members also.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One, I'd like to commend this board on the actions that it has taken. You know, in the past couple of meetings, you have changed your bylaws, you've changed your committee structure, you've created a new nominating committee process. A lot of change has taken place as a result of these board actions. I commend you for doing that. It was done in an orderly fashion, and I believe it's addressed a number of issues that have been raised. What we're going to talk about today is the new nominating committee process. We agreed to this in Nashville. We're going to split into six geographic regions. In each of those regions, we'll select one representative from their region to serve on the nominating committee. The representative will be determined by secret vote of the members in each of the regions where there is a contested election. Okay? First step is to break into the six regions. We've tried to get you there already. You got to get into the regions if you're not in your right region. The next step, and this will hopefully help the process, is to select somebody to serve as a chair for the purpose of keeping the process going and an orderly discussion if there is debate within the meeting. Once you are ready to vote and have your nominees, you will cast your vote using the written nominating committee ballots. We will make those available to you. We have those ready?
We do.
We have those ready. Wow.
Wow, you did something right.
We're ahead of the game here. As I said, voting in those regions where there is a contested election will be done by secret ballot. Under the policies and procedures you approved, you may give preference in voting to those members who have served 6 years on the board. Once voting is complete, the votes will be tallied by a tallying committee. This is something that the chair of your region will select. The tallying committee consists of the region's leader or chair you select, along with representatives of each of the nominees and a CBB staff person. The member with the most votes for the nominating committee from each region will become the region's representative on the nominating committee. Now, if you have ties, you will continue to vote, okay? If you have a tie in the nominating process, you will re-vote, okay, until someone receives a majority. Okay? How are we doing? Everybody okay? Yes, sir. No. No one's removed. Okay? That would have to be specifically required in the procedures. Yes, sir?
Mr. Watkins, are we going to do this right now, break up into the regions?
Yes, we are.
Okay, before we do that, would you designate the regions? Because ours have been a long way.
Okay, we have right here, we have region one. Am I not correct? Can I ask a favor of everyone in Region 1 to stand up? Everyone who belongs in Region 1, please stand. Okay? If we need to get additional chairs in here, we will get additional chairs in here. We need to
just have Region 4 move back.
Yeah. All right. Can Region 4
Region 1. What region do you have back there? Okay. Let's break them up into different areas in the room. Region 4, will you go all the way in the left corner? Back in that left corner. Region 4. Yeah. Region 4, all the way in the left corner. Region 5, all the way in the right corner. Okay? Region 5, all the way in the right corner. Region 1, right here in front of me so I can keep an eye on you. Region 6, you're all the way right here. Okay? Region 2, you can stay right where you are. Is that region? That must be region 3 over there. Region 3, you're all set, right? Okay, can I address an issue that was just brought to my attention before you start your process? In reading the rules, it basically states that the person with the most votes wins. It does not require a majority, it's the most votes. It's a plurality. Okay? That's the rules as the board has approved them. Everybody clear on that? Okay.